It's time now for Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle. Now, here's your host, Colin Fluxman.
Thanks, Bob, and welcome to another edition of our show. Today, we'll be discussing dividing retirement plans when you're getting divorced. Lisa's with us, as usual, in the studio, together with paralegal Sharon. Hi, guys.
Hi there.
According to the Department of Labor, in 2006, about 24% of Americans aged 65 and older received pension benefits from past private sector employers, and about 11% received benefits from past public sector employers. Whether and how to divide a participant's interest in a pension plan are often important considerations in separation, divorce, and other domestic relations proceedings. And here to answer these and other questions are attorney Darren Goodman and forensic economist Ron Reddle. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Colin. Thank you.
Darren is an attorney out of Westlake Village specializing in QUADROs, that's Qualifying Domestic Relations Orders. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is that right?
Qualified.
Qualified.
But who's counting?
Who's counting? He developed QUADRO procedures, sample QUADRO language, and QUADRO guidelines, all of which are sensitive to changes in tax laws and court cases dealing with retirement plans. Am I spot on with that?
You are spot on.
Fantastic. Colin. And Ron started valuing community retirement benefits in 1976. Is that right, Ron?
Yes.
That's way back. That's before my time, really.
That's a long time ago.
He's prepared over 30,000 reports on hundreds of different pension plans and has extensive knowledge of CalPERS, CalSTARS. Is that the way you pronounce that, Cal?
That's the British pronunciation,
That's
yes.
the British pronunciation. What's the American pronunciation?
CalSTRS.
CalSTRS, okay. California Counties and CSRS, FERS plans. He retired from Pension Values LLC and is now based in Santa Cruz. How was your trip down to Ventura?
It was all right.
It was all right, okay. All right, first question for you, Darren. How does one divide a pension plan in a divorce?
Sure. Well, there's a few ways to go about it. People often will assume that a qualified domestic relations order is the only way. They hear this term because they may contact their retirement administrator and ask how they divide it. And the knee-jerk reaction is to say you divide it with a QUADRO. That's the acronym for qualified domestic relations order. So that is one way, and that's more or less means that they're going to physically divide it, transfer assets between the spouses. But another approach is to take a report, something that Ron is familiar with, have a value placed on it, and then equalize the marital assets. So in effect, you're getting what you're entitled to, but you're not getting it from that particular source. And those are really the two main distinctions, is dividing it in kind with a QUADRO, physically transferring funds, or valuing the funds and taking in other assets in exchange.
So that's your area of expertise. So if someone is going through a divorce and has all of these things, they wouldn't just go to Lisa, for example. She would refer them, as far as the pension side of it is concerned, to you? Or how does that work when we've got this whole package to deal with?
Well, Colin, generally the reason that most family lawyers will refer out to QUADRO specialists is because the ERISA laws are federal laws and not something that most family lawyers specialize in. So we go to a subspecialist, much in the same way a family physician might refer someone to a cardiologist when they have a special need.
So is that all put together in the final divorce decree?
Typically, it is. Some divorce decrees are very specific, and they may say, for example, wife shall get this portion of husband's pension plan to be accomplished through a qualified domestic relations order. Sometimes divorce decrees are a little more open-ended, where the parties have a little more leverage in going to someone like myself, letting me, in my discretion, determine what may be best, especially if there's multiple retirement plans involved.
May I ask you, why did you get into something like QUADROs?
Well, that opens up a whole Pandora's box.
Yes, let's do that.
Let's do that. Well, I was an ERISA attorney doing a lot of compliance work and some litigation, and discovered back in 1997 that there was an actual need for this. It was my starting the practice was timed with a Supreme Court case called Boggs v. Boggs that came out and was just complicated enough to cause family law attorneys to pause and perhaps start engaging some subspecialists, like Lisa says, to do this sort of work.
Ron, what does vesting mean? I understand that there's a term vesting, and what role does it play in dividing or valuing pension benefits?
Well, vesting in a pension plan refers to how many years you have to work before you can quit and still have a right to get a pension. Now, the right to get that pension typically means you're going to have to stay alive till age 50, 55 before they will pay you. So when you vest in a pension, typically you have a right to it. If you're alive at age 50 or 55, we will give you some monthly benefits. Now, the 5 years, typical minimum vesting years, 5 years of service is very common. But some plans, like Pacific Gas and Electric, PG&E, the utility company, they're vesting, they have five different vesting thresholds. They will give you something if you leave after 5 years. They'll give you a little bit more if you leave after 15. And if you leave after 25, they'll give you more. And if you leave after 30, you're vested in a greater percentage. And if you work 35 years, they'll give you the whole pension at age 55. Of course, you'd have to start at age 20. So vesting is not black or white. It's often, plans often vest over time in a series of important events that occur during someone's career.
Suppose a petition for the dissolution of our marriage was recently filed in a divorce. What are the first steps one should take with regard to the division of pension and retirement benefits? Darren?
Sure. Well, this is very critical. Getting good information, meaning finding out which retirement plans are involved, is key to eventually dividing those assets. So where family law attorneys are involved, conducting discovery, asking the right questions, which usually surround a person's employment, knowing the employer first is the start, but then getting to the plan administrator and getting the specific plan names. Now, where somebody goes from employer to employer, it may become more difficult. Where someone's in an industry where plans have merged, it can become difficult. But certainly starting with getting plan names, which plans does a person participate in? From there, you want to get account statements, benefit statements, and sort of round up as much as you can involving the person's retirement benefits. And then and only then could you identify which plans need to be divided and how they should be handled.
Are there special types of plans that are precluded from quadros?
There are. When we talk about qualified domestic relations orders, quadros, we're being somewhat technical. We're talking about plans that are governed by the Employee Retirement Income Security Act and or the Internal Revenue Code. But there are a multitude of governmental plans. You mentioned a few already, CalSTRS, CalPERS, some federal plans, that although they're not subject to qualified domestic relations orders, they are they require a court order akin to a quadro in order to divide. So for all intents and purposes, we can call it a quadro. In fact, sort of industry standard is to call it a quadro.
So quadro really relates only to private pension plans.
That's true.
Okay. When dealing with multiple plans, for example, each party has one or more pension plan, is there a best way to handle the allocation and division?
Well, best say is difficult. The best way is difficult to say. If you have four plans, suppose the wife has two different pension plans that were earned during the marriage, and the husband has two different pension plans earned during the marriage. You could go to Darren and do four qualified domestic relations orders. Might be a little expensive, and it's not clear that when you go that route that you get the full value you're entitled to. So one approach with four plans is to hire someone like us who gives an opinion of the value of the community property share of each of those four plans. Now you have numbers to look at, and maybe you can do some horse trading. You can look at the value of the various plans and determine, well, let's see, if you keep your two and I keep my two, but mine are worth more than yours, well, how much more? Well, $20,000 more. Well, then you take a $20,000 sports car. So it's possible when you value all four plans, if you can find other marital assets to juggle and balance the property division, you might do zero quadros. More commonly, in a case like that, at least one quadro is done.
So it's really quite a complicated procedure, isn't it?
It is, and in fact, it invites aspects of financial planning that I try not to touch. I mean, it's a curious crossover between what Ron does, what I do, and what a financial planner may do. If someone comes to us and says, I have some pension plans that need to be divided, some defined contribution plans to be divided, what is the quote-unquote best way? Or they say, you know, how would you do this if I were your sister, or something like that. the bottom line is this really plays into their overall financial picture. I can't tell somebody to take fixed income versus take a lump sum benefit if I don't see their overall financial picture. And in fact, I'm not even qualified to consult with them on that issue. So there we might involve a financial planner to weigh in and help us out, help us determine what is truly best for this person.
In fact, we have Steve Wagner who will be on the line shortly, and he'll discuss the best ways to invest. You're listening to Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle on 1590 KVTA. With me in the studio today is Darren Goodman, a Quadro attorney, and forensic economist Ron Reddle.
Are you and your spouse contemplating a divorce? Divorce is very stressful and can present a minefield of obstacles. Lisa Zonder is a divorce attorney and mediator. She can help you through this process, providing a number of alternatives to court, such as mediation and collaborative divorce with a professional team. Lisa's main office is on Townsgate Road in Westlake Village. She also serves mediation clients in her satellite office on Camden Drive in Beverly Hills. One call to Lisa will set you on the path to a peaceful and economical resolution that is focused on your family. Call 805-777-7740 or go online at zonderfamilylaw.com. Contact Lisa Zonder today, certified family law specialist, State Bar of California, Board of Legal Specialization. Call 805-777-7740 or go online at zonderfamilylaw.com. If you mention you heard it on the radio, your first consultation is free for local and qualified clients. Call 805-777-7740. That's Lisa Zonder, 805-777-7740, or email Lisa at zonderfamilylaw.com. Consultations are granted based on appropriate qualification as determined by Lisa Zonder. Her practice is limited to family law matters in Ventura County and Beverly Hills. Going through a divorce is never easy. It's not only emotionally draining, but the many financial decisions can add to your stress. For over 25 years, Ventura-based Stephen Wagner, certified financial planner of Wagner Financial, has been helping people just like you make smart decisions when emotions can sometimes get in the way. From planning your retirement income to investment management, Steve Wagner can create a roadmap that you can understand and follow as you embark on your new life. In addition to providing clients with access to informative financial content and useful tools, Wagner Financial will make you feel more confident about your financial stance now and in the future. Call 805-339-0760 for an appointment. That's 805-339-0760 or log on to wagnerfinancial.com. For that one-on-one personalized financial attention, call Steve Wagner Financial on 805-339-0760. 805-339-0760. Stephen H. Wagner is an investment advisor representative with Transamerica Financial Advisors, as well as securities and investment advisory services offered through TFA, member FINRA, SIPC, and a registered investment advisor. Wagner Financial is not affiliated with TFA.
And Steve will be with us a little later on in the show. Darren, is there a difference in how a pension plan is divided by a quadro based on whether the plan participant is retired or not retired?
Absolutely. In fact, when someone is approaching retirement and they are going through a divorce, this is sort of a hot potato because the timing is so critical to getting the quadro done, or at least notifying the retirement plan that there's a claim to benefits. Because when somebody does retire, they make a distribution election. And that distribution election, in most cases, almost all cases, becomes irrevocable. And the type of distribution election I'm referring to is, for example, pay me my benefits for life, upon my death they terminate. Or pay me benefits for life, and then upon my death, a portion will go to my surviving spouse or beneficiary. So you can imagine if a party in a divorce is seeking to get a portion of that retirement benefit, and the person retires and elects what we call a single life annuity where the payments terminate upon death, to the extent that that election is irrevocable, we can only draft a quadro that causes that person to get payments for the life of the participant. Nothing will continue beyond that person's, that participant's death.
If there is, in my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, if there is something that allows for continuous benefits to be derived after the death of the participant, how does that work?
Well, it's handled in various ways, but certainly where benefits continue beyond the death of the participant, we can latch onto those benefits. Now, this is where sort of my services become, I think, sort of more valuable in understanding how each retirement plan works and recognizing that there is no sort of one-size-fits-all approach. Some retirement plans, public plans, may provide benefits that are only payable to quote-unquote surviving spouses.
Right.
And so a former spouse may be left out, or they may only be able to get benefits over the life of a true surviving spouse, in which case, as long as there's a stream of payments being made, benefits can still be paid to a former spouse, but then only as long as the new spouse is alive, which still doesn't guarantee that person that former spouse lifetime benefits. And of course, with private plans, we have a little more flexibility in statutory mandate, which is we can carve out the benefit and pay that person for life, regardless of whether that person has a surviving spouse. In other words, cut this thing into two pieces and pay them each separately over their joint lives.
You've been talking about the spouse and the ex-spouse before I get to you. What about the kids, the children? How do they fit into this situation?
Well, typically they don't. You can have a quadro for child support, but I don't think that's what you're asking about. You're referring more towards beneficiary
yes.
designations and stuff. People often ask me this as a sort of a hot button where they say, well, I want my kids to get it. Well, your kids can get certain benefits, probably should get certain benefits. But when we talk about pension plans, we're talking about lifetime benefits. And lifetime benefits are measured, as Ron well knows, over someone's life expectancy and based on their mortality tables, et cetera. So when someone says they want to designate a child as a beneficiary, they have to be very clear. They're not designating the child to receive benefits for the child's life following the participant's death.
Right.
To do so would cause such a reduction in the benefits, they would never receive anything while they were living. However, there are certain benefits, lump sum benefits, that become payable under certain plans where you would designate a child to receive your benefits, maybe in tandem with a former spouse.
Right. Ron, you were going to say something?
Yes, I want two minor clarifications. If it's a private sector pension plan under ERISA, that we've been talking about, the Employee
yes.
Retirement Income Security Act, if the person starts their pension, goes into pay status, and starts their pension while they're still married, happily or otherwise, they have to get a signed waiver from their spouse not to have there be survivor benefits. Okay? So one of the powers of a spouse that's unhappily married when their spouse that has the job wants to retire is to say, well, I'm not going to sign the ERISA waiver. And the other point I want to make on the public plans, where there are survivor, sometimes called survivor continuance, which is, as Darren mentions, only payable to a surviving spouse, a possible solution there is to get a legal separation instead of a marital dissolution. Because if you get a legal separation, you're still spouses, and therefore you still would be
could be
the qualifying spouse to get that benefit, which if you get a marital dissolution, you're not going to get it because you're an ex-spouse and the county of Ventura won't pay that.
That becomes very, very complicated, Lisa, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I was going to actually discuss something with Darren, which is, wouldn't a possible solution for the spouse who waived or isn't going to receive the benefits is to get some life insurance if they no longer have that entitlement to cover the stream of pension income?
Yeah, absolutely. That's sort of the first and maybe the only thing that can replace those types of lost benefits. And so that is absolutely something that you would want to negotiate and know about prior to settling your case, prior to having a final judgment. It often becomes a sticking point. It often becomes something that the participant resists for whatever reason, even if the life insurance is paid for by the former spouse. And this kind of goes back to this question of, you know, what do you need to divide a pension? Well, gather up all these assets. Find out well before the settlement that there's been a benefit elected that may terminate upon the death of the participant. So kind of going to what Ron was saying about the spousal consent rules, suppose someone's already given spousal consent and they're already drawing their pension. Now they're going to file a petition. They've locked into a benefit that's going to terminate upon death. Well, what do you do? Well, as Lisa points out, life insurance certainly is a viable option.
Right. Ron, we were talking about government or public retirement systems. What are some of the unique features?
Well, for example, in California, we have 58 counties. And
I thought there were more. I thought there were like 80 or something.
58. And about 20 of them run their own pension plans.
Oh.
Ventura has their own pension plan. Santa Barbara, Los Angeles. If you subtract 20 from 58, by the way, the other 38 counties have pension plans. They contract with CalPERS, the biggest pension plan in the United States or even the world. But regarding these county pension plans, some of them, when Darren does a domestic relations order dividing the benefits, some of these county plans will permit what's called a separate account for the, if the pension benefits haven't started yet, a separate account for the spouse that's divorcing and didn't have the job. Other counties won't permit that. For example, Ventura permits that. Los Angeles County does not permit that. So depending on what county you're in, the types of orders that Darren may be able to draw up to divide the benefits if they're not going to be traded for something, depends on the county.
You're listening to Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle on AM 1590 KVTA.
Have you already filed for divorce and are overwhelmed by the process? Or you're in the midst of a divorce and not sure what to do next? Well, we have the answer for you. The Second Saturday Divorce Workshop. Explore the legal, financial, and emotional aspects of divorce. Discover community resources available to help you. Talk with others experiencing similar life changes. Learn from the experts who have guided others through divorce. Divorce educational and informational workshops are held at Ventura College of Law, 4475 Market Street in Ventura, on the second Saturday of each month from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Register by calling 805-372-1810. That's 805-372-1810. Or email us at secondsaturdaywestlake@gmail.com. That's 2ndsaturdaywestlake@gmail.com. Call 805-372-1810. 805-372-1810. Please do not phone the law school. Registration is through our Second Saturday website. We look forward to answering your questions. Going through a divorce is never easy. It's not only emotionally draining, but the many financial decisions can add to your stress. For over 25 years, Ventura-based Stephen Wagner, certified financial planner of Wagner Financial, has been helping people just like you make smart decisions when emotions can sometimes get in the way. From planning your retirement income to investment management, Steve Wagner can create a roadmap that you can understand and follow as you embark on your new life. In addition to providing clients with access to informative financial content and useful tools, Wagner Financial will make you feel more confident about your financial stance now and in the future. Call 805-339-0760 for an appointment. That's 805-339-0760 or log on to wagnerfinancial.com. For that one-on-one personalized financial attention, call Steve Wagner Financial on 805-339-0760. 805-339-0760. Stephen H. Wagner is an investment advisor representative with Transamerica Financial Advisors, as well as securities and investment advisory services offered through TFA, member FINRA, SIPC, and a registered investment advisor. Wagner Financial is not affiliated with TFA. Are you and your spouse contemplating a divorce? Divorce is very stressful and can present a minefield of obstacles. Lisa Zonder is a divorce attorney and mediator. She can help you through this process, providing a number of alternatives to court, such as mediation and collaborative divorce with a professional team. Lisa's main office is on Townsgate Road in Westlake Village. She also serves mediation clients in her satellite office on Camden Drive in Beverly Hills. One call to Lisa will set you on the path to a peaceful and economical resolution that is focused on your family. Call 805-777-7740 or go online at zonderfamilylaw.com. Contact Lisa Zonder today, certified family law specialist, State Bar of California, Board of Legal Specialization. Call 805-777-7740 or go online at zonderfamilylaw.com. If you mention you heard it on the radio, your first consultation is free for local and qualified clients. Call 805-777-7740. That's Lisa Zonder, 805-777-7740, or email Lisa at zonderfamilylaw.com. Consultations are granted based on appropriate qualification as determined by Lisa Zonder. Her practice is limited to family law matters in Ventura County and Beverly Hills.
And you're listening to Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle on AM 1590 KVTA, News Talk Radio out of Ventura. I'm Colin Fluxman. Whether and how to divide a participant's interest in a pension plan are often important considerations in separation, divorce, and other domestic relations proceedings. And here to answer these and other questions are Quadro attorney Darren Goodman and forensic economist Ron Reddle. And just before the break, we were talking, Ron, about government pensions, public pensions, etc.
Yes, I wanted to add two brief points. When thinking city, county, state, school district plans in California, virtually all of these plans are contributory on the part of the employee. A certain percentage of their salary is taken out every pay period, and it goes into a so-called member contributions account. Well, that account is not the value of a public employee pension. If public employee pensions were fully paid for by employee contributions, they wouldn't be so controversial. And so, for example, if you get a 50-year-old correctional officer in one of California's prisons that's been a correctional officer for 25 years, since age 25, their member contributions account balance on their annual statement from CalPERS will probably show $250,000, and the pension's worth approximately six times that, about $1.5 million. So it's very important that husbands and wives not assume that the value of a city, county, state, or school district pension is merely the member contributions and interest. When they look at their statement, it will tell them, your employer also makes contributions to this plan, and they are not reflected on the statement.
So it includes the employee's contributions.
Yes, and one other point regarding federal plans, federal, military, and civilian. Federal plans do not allow any domestic relations order to do what we call a separate account or a carve-out. They will divide pensions under court orders when the pensions go into pay status and start. So the idea of getting a separate interest or a carve-out for the non-participant, the one that didn't have the job, federal, military, and civilian plans don't permit it.
How does it fit in with what you do, Darren, as far as quadros are concerned when it comes to dividing a 401k or other investments? What are some of the pitfalls with regard to dealing with such plans?
Sure. Well, 401ks and IRAs, as we know, these are contributory plans. Individuals defer their salary or make contributions into an account. And unlike the example Ron just gave about the public plans, where you look at a statement, you see a value, but it's not really the value. When you look at a 401k or IRA statement, that is the value. And so in order to divide these accounts, you can use a quadro. You can have a valuation done, but in using a quadro, you will physically divide the amount that you see on paper. If there's $100,000 in an account as of separation, you can tell your client $50,000 of that is going to be transferred. Now, we can tack on interest and typically do tack on interest, market fluctuations, gains and losses from whatever that date is. The trick to 401ks in dividing them in the divorce context has really become one of somewhat of an administrative issue, in the sense that we often have to go back and get account statements. We often have to go back many, many years to try to get account statements. So, for example, if husband claims that he had $20,000 in his account prior to marriage, and the marriage was, let's say, in 1985, he has to demonstrate that he had that in there. Now, does he keep his account statements going back to 1985? Probably not. Hopefully not, right? But but if he does...
Why do you say that, hopefully?
Well, I don't know. Because I have a garage I need to clean out this weekend. But let's assume that he has his statement. He could demonstrate he had $20,000 in his account at date of marriage in 1985. Then the task becomes, well, what did that money earn? What is his separate property worth today? To pinpoint it, you would want all of the account statements from 1985 to now, so we could follow that $20,000 based on actual investment performance. Whether we can get those statements or not becomes the real trick. So oftentimes we end up getting these statements. Sometimes someone like Ron's involved. Sometimes the attorneys more or less try to settle the matter by putting together the sort of the best information they can. We don't have all the statements, but we have some. For the ones that we do have, we see there's a 7% rate of return. Maybe we can reach a settlement here. That becomes where a lot of the energy is expended.
I just wanted to jump in and say, I know with the financial professionals we use sometimes to track the separate versus community interest in the 401ks, they'll look at the shares as opposed to the dollars when they try to apportion or separate out the community and separate property interests.
Right.
Do you have something to add to that, Ron?
Yeah, well, it gets a little difficult because some plans, the shares or the mutual fund shares, when there are dividends, they roll them in and the shares become more valuable. Other plans where there are dividends, they buy more shares. So sometimes rabbits breed rabbits, you end up with more shares. And other times, the dividends are just fat in the existing rabbits. So we always have to look very carefully where we're trying to trace the shares and determine which way that plan handles dividends? Are they reinvested, or do they buy more shares?
Not to mention the fact that what we're really trying to do is determine what happened to these particular funds, as opposed to creating a fiction. If someone had $20,000 invested a certain way in 1985, in that example, unless they kept the exact same investment, things have changed. So they've moved the money from investment to investment. And people don't generally invest in their 401ks thinking in terms of premarital, separate property, and community. In other words, I've isolated this $20,000. This is mine. And we're going to follow it based on its investment performance. It's commingled. And so we're really looking at the overall investment performance of a fund as it moves from security to security, holding to holding. And that's why if we could round up in a perfect world all of the statements, we could track the actual rate of return of the account. So that is the goal. Whether you can achieve that or not is a different story. And if you can't, then there's some different alternatives that you can explore to get parties to reach a reasonable resolution.
Yes.
Yes. And just one minor point there. Of course, we'd like to have all the quarterly or annual statements going back 30 years. If they married 30 years ago and the spouse with the job already had $20,000 in there. And often we can't get them. A second request often is W-2 slips, not the whole tax return. If you get the W-2 slips going back 30 years, they don't tell you where the money was invested. But
the boxes
will show how much was contributed by the employee in each calendar year. So that helps. And now you at least have something. You're able to document the contributions that went over the various
All those
years.
Slips and returns are in Darren's garage, right, that you have
they,
to
Well, I don't keep my clients, but not in the garage, I should say.
Let's talk about early benefits. Well, okay, that's possible. Let's talk about early benefits. Ron, in the case of a pension plan, does the non-participant spouse need to wait until the participant spouse retires in order to receive the benefits?
Well, it depends whether there's already a qualified domestic relations order, which might say exactly that, that when the employee retires, the ex-spouse will then get a share. If there is no quadro in place, we have a case called a unanimous California Supreme Court case, 1981, called Marriage of Gilmore with two L's, G-I-L-L-M-O-R-E. And Gilmore says that when the employee reaches the age at which a healthy, not disabled employee could retire, quit their job, and start getting immediate benefits, commonly age 50 or 55, then the person that didn't have the job, the non-participant spouse, the ex-spouse, can insist that the employee start paying them.
That's pretty young, 50 or 55. People today are working into their 70s even.
Well, the Gilmore case is just simply, the Gilmore case, they're trying to give as pensions are property, and the Gilmore case, our California Supreme Court unanimously said, look, we're trying to give as much control as possible over this asset that this person owns. And the way we're going to do that is we're going to say they don't have to wait past the age at which the person could have retired, even though the one with the job loves their job and wants to keep working.
So what would the pros and cons be to the non-participant if he or she draws early benefits?
Well, there's a very short answer, whether it's the participant or the non-participant. Very few exceptions. When you start your pension early, you're paid less. Pension plans aren't stupid. If they're going to pay you from age 55 for your life, they're going to pay you less than if they pay you from age 70 for your life. So you get less if you start early. That's true for both spouses.
You're listening to Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle on AM 1590 KVTA. Going through a divorce is never easy. It's not only emotionally draining, but the many financial decisions can add to your stress. For over 25 years, Ventura-based Stephen Wagner, certified financial planner of Wagner Financial, has been helping people just like you make smart decisions when emotions can sometimes get in the way. From planning your retirement income to investment management, Steve Wagner can create a roadmap that you can understand and follow as you embark on your new life. In addition to providing clients with access to informative financial content and useful tools, Wagner Financial will make you feel more confident about your financial stance now and in the future. Call 805-339-0760 for an appointment. That's 805-339-0760 or log on to wagnerfinancial.com. For that one-on-one personalized financial attention, call Steve Wagner Financial on 805-339-0760. 805-339-0760. Stephen H. Wagner is an investment advisor representative with Transamerica Financial Advisors, as well as securities and investment advisory services offered through TFA, member FINRA, SIPC, and a registered investment advisor. Wagner Financial is not affiliated with TFA.
Have you already filed for divorce and are overwhelmed by the process? Or you're in the midst of a divorce and not sure what to do next? Well, we have the answer for you. The Second Saturday Divorce Workshop. Explore the legal, financial, and emotional aspects of divorce. Discover community resources available to help you. Talk with others experiencing similar life changes. Learn from the experts who have guided others through divorce. Divorce educational and informational workshops are held at Ventura College of Law, 4475 Market Street in Ventura, on the second Saturday of each month from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Register by calling 805-372-1810. That's 805-372-1810. Or email us at secondsaturdaywestlake@gmail.com. That's 2ndsaturdaywestlake@gmail.com. Call 805-372-1810, 805-372-1810. Please do not phone the law school. Registration is through our Second Saturday website. We look forward to answering your questions. Are you and your spouse contemplating a divorce? Divorce is very stressful and can present a minefield of obstacles. Lisa Zonder is a divorce attorney and mediator. She can help you through this process, providing a number of alternatives to court, such as mediation and collaborative divorce with a professional team. Lisa's main office is on Townsgate Road in Westlake Village. She also serves mediation clients in her satellite office on Camden Drive in Beverly Hills. One call to Lisa will set you on the path to a peaceful and economical resolution that is focused on your family. Call 805-777-7740 or go online at zonderfamilylaw.com. Contact Lisa Zonder today, certified family law specialist, State Bar of California, Board of Legal Specialization. Call 805-777-7740 or go online at zonderfamilylaw.com. If you mention you heard it on the radio, your first consultation is free for local and qualified clients. Call 805-777-7740. That's Lisa Zonder, 805-777-7740, or email Lisa at zonderfamilylaw.com. Consultations are granted based on appropriate qualification as determined by Lisa Zonder. Her practice is limited to family law matters in Ventura County and Beverly Hills.
Divorce Lisa Zonder Style on AM 1590 KVTA. I'm Colin Fluxman, and on the line we have Steve Wagner, our financial advisor. Steve, are you with us?
I am here. How are you folks?
I'm good. You're feeling a little poorly today, aren't you?
A little bit, yeah. But we're going to fight this thing through.
Good. I hope you get better real soon.
Thank you.
So we've been talking about dividing pensions during divorce and investing that money that the spouse receives. Mm-hmm. So what is your best advice as far as that is concerned?
Well, I think here's the issue generally in these situations is that prior you had one person making all the investment decisions. So typically that was the husband. So now you have the wife who is now single and, you know, likely getting a half, obviously, of the 401k plan or pension plan. And she may have had little or none investing experience. So it's going to be extremely important for her, number one, not to make quick decisions. But more importantly, to interview 2 to 3 financial advisors, build a trusting relationship, and then move forward with investment decisions based upon her risk tolerance.
Right. So you would typically sit down with the spouse and go over what the options are, right, based on the money that she receives or he receives.
Absolutely. And, again, I go back to the whole idea of risk tolerance because, again, one spouse may be more, risk tolerant or aggressive or conservative than the other. And typically, us guys are more aggressive than a lot of the gals out there. Not to sound chauvinistic, Lisa, I apologize for that.
You saw my look.
Indeed, I did.
The two of them are often on about that, right?
Oh, okay. It is what it is. But be that as it may, all joking aside, it is extremely important for this, newly single person to really assess what kind of risk that they need to take. I like to ask the question on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being no risk, like a CD, or 10 being very aggressive, like all technology stocks. Where are you on that scale? And so if someone says a 4 or a 5, that's kind of middle of the road. That really helps begin that conversation to find out really how those funds should be invested. Of course, you also have to take into consideration, how long they are away from retirement, what that money really needs to do. Because, again, a newly divorced individual, obviously they're not going to have the financial assets that they may have before as far as earning power going forward. It could be that in order to maintain the lifestyle that they would like to have at retirement, that money has to work harder. So some additional risk may need to be taken. But again, all of this is done within the confines of a conversation with a trusted advisor.
Yeah, Steve is hitting on something that is so important here, which is the fact that when we go through this dissolution process and we're asked to take on small tasks like prepare a quadro or do a valuation, oftentimes it overlooks what's really happening here, which is an upheaval in a couple's financial plan, financial future. And Steve's talking about risk tolerance and these other ideas that really play into someone's future in financial planning. So before we brought Steve on, we were talking about this idea of Gilmore elections and drawing your benefits early.
Right.
I mean, this is a critical issue. This is the exact type of issue where someone like Steve needs to get involved and help parties make a decision. If someone's asking me or asking Ron, hey, should I start drawing my benefits early? What does this mean if I get an early reduction in my monthly benefit? That really plays into their overall financial picture, and I'm hardly capable of helping them make that decision, and certainly not that's well beyond the scope of my services. So Gilmore elections are drawing benefits early, taking a reduced pension, deciding to take less now for more years or take more later, completely within the realm of a financial planner.
Steve?
That is absolutely correct. And this is, again, an example where professionals need to work together in this kind of situation. And it's very important for us to bring each other in, and or at least make open the referral to the end client. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the quadro can be done exactly correct. Everything can be done perfectly appropriate on the divorce side, all the paperwork, everything else. But if the individual is left out in the open with regard to making investment decisions, boy, that can mess up the rest of their life. They can completely make giant mistakes that they'll pay for a very long time.
So Steve,
again,
typically,
a good example of people working together.
So typically, would they come to you from time to time, although you've set them up on a path to investing the money? Would they come to you every 6 months or so to revise that?
Well, we like to meet with our clients on a quarterly basis. Again, it's different with everyone. If you're closer to retirement, you've got a larger amount of money that you're concerned about, generally the clients will come in on a three-month basis,
right,
as opposed to someone who's younger and just accumulating. They may come in just once or twice a year. But absolutely, there needs to be regular communication, regular understanding of what's going on, and that also allows the advisor to see if there are any changes in the client situations, and then appropriate recommendations can be made at that point.
Yeah, I would just add that tax considerations are there. If most quadros that distribute money from a 401k, typically that money is all pre-tax money. It hasn't been taxed by federal or state income taxes. And whether at some point it is or is not necessary to consult with a CPA or a tax lawyer probably depends on how much money is involved. But certainly if the alternate payee, as the person is called, of the quadro, the one that gets the money through the quadro, if they take all the money out at once, don't put it in a rollover IRA, they're going to be taxed 1040, 540, and depending on their age, probably some penalties on top of that. They're going to get hammered on taxes. That's why usually that money is put in a rollover IRA to continue the pre-tax nature of it. And down the road, it'll all be taxed as ordinary income when it comes out.
So, Steve, typically you'd be looking at the markets all the time and advising your clients about where to put their money, right? And speaking of which, what do the markets look like this week and for the future, for the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, it's been a roller coaster week. It's really been exciting. If they just kind of replay it going back to a week from today, we had the situation with Vladimir Putin from Russia wanting to invade the Ukraine. And, of course, the markets really didn't react too badly Friday, but over the weekend when he actually physically made plans to do it, Monday morning the markets opened up significantly down, ended up down, I think, 150 or 200 points. Then, of course, he changed his mind after the Russian stock market fell 12% that day. It's amazing what money will do.
Yes.
All the Russian billionaires were probably on the phone line to him. He changed his mind abruptly, and of course our markets were up 200 points the following day.
But what about the foreign markets, Steve? The foreign markets, how did they react?
They reacted in lockstep. So, you know, obviously they were down on the invasion concerns, and then they were up when he pulled out. It was an amazing display of the market volatility and the opportunities that it can actually create. And again, for individual investors, not to so much respond or react on a day-to-day basis, but to let things play out, because certainly anybody that sold on Monday was very unhappy on Tuesday.
Right.
And certainly the rest of the week, the market's been stable. It's been stable to up. Today we had a great payroll number. 175,000 new jobs were created last month, so the concern over the cold is now gone, and the economy seems to be moving in the right direction again.
Well, that's very positive. That's good news, right?
Yes.
Reason to be optimistic.
I think so, and I think right now the optimistic is really being realistic, because there are so many great things going on in our economy that aren't getting a lot of the national headlines.
For example,
the energy independence that this country is obtaining. Let me ask you a question, Colin, or any one of the guests in there. What percentage do you think that the U.S. is dependent upon the Middle East for oil right now? Any guesses by anybody there?
50%.
20%.
Okay.
Darren, what do you think?
Do I get to play?
Yeah.
40.
Absolutely.
40%. 40. Lisa.
Okay.
No clue. Maybe 60.
There you go. So we're all over the map. What about Tom? Do you think 40, 50, 60%?
I'll take 70.
We'll take 70. All right, Steve, what's the answer?
How would you like 17%?
17.
That's it.
Hey, close to what Ron was saying, right?
Yes, it is amazing what is going on in this country. And it's not just oil independence, but the massive reserves of natural gas that this country has right now, and the fracking technology that's enabling it to bring it up in a very economical way. Throw in the fact that we've got technology now to convert natural gas into liquid form, thus being able to export it, is going to create just massive numbers of jobs over the next decade in this country. So, yeah, there's day-to-day concerns. There's some day-to-day weakness in some of the numbers. But long-term, this is a major, major macro move in our economy that's going to bode very, very well for the long-term.
That sounds very good, and I'm excited about that. Steve, thank you very much. Hope you get better soon.
Thank you, and I wish all of you guys the best today, and thanks for having me on.
All right, thank you.
Are you and your spouse contemplating a divorce? Divorce is very stressful and can present a minefield of obstacles. Lisa Zonder is a divorce attorney and mediator. She can help you through this process, providing a number of alternatives to court, such as mediation and collaborative divorce with a professional team. Lisa's main office is on Townsgate Road in Westlake Village. She also serves mediation clients in her satellite office on Camden Drive in Beverly Hills. One call to Lisa will set you on the path to a peaceful and economical resolution that is focused on your family. Call 805-777-7740 or go online at zonderfamilylaw.com. Contact Lisa Zonder today, certified family law specialist, State Bar of California, Board of Legal Specialization. Call 805-777-7740 or go online at zonderfamilylaw.com. If you mention you heard it on the radio, your first consultation is free for local and qualified clients. Call 805-777-7740. That's Lisa Zonder, 805-777-7740, or email Lisa at zonderfamilylaw.com. Consultations are granted based on appropriate qualification as determined by Lisa Zonder. Her practice is limited to family law matters in Ventura County and Beverly Hills. Have you already filed for divorce and are overwhelmed by the process? Or you're in the midst of a divorce and not sure what to do next? Well, we have the answer for you. The Second Saturday Divorce Workshop. Explore the legal, financial, and emotional aspects of divorce. Discover community resources available to help you. Talk with others experiencing similar life changes. Learn from the experts who have guided others through divorce. Divorce educational and informational workshops are held at Ventura College of Law, 4475 Market Street in Ventura, on the second Saturday of each month from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Register by calling 805-372-1810. That's 805-372-1810. Or email us at secondsaturdaywestlake@gmail.com. That's 2ndsaturdaywestlake@gmail.com. call 805-372-1810, 805-372-1810. Please do not phone the law school. Registration is through our Second Saturday website. We look forward to answering your questions. Going through a divorce is never easy. It's not only emotionally draining, but the many financial decisions can add to your stress. For over 25 years, Ventura-based Stephen Wagner, certified financial planner of Wagner Financial, has been helping people just like you make smart decisions when emotions can sometimes get in the way. From planning your retirement income to investment management, Steve Wagner can create a roadmap that you can understand and follow as you embark on your new life. In addition to providing clients with access to informative financial content and useful tools, Wagner Financial will make you feel more confident about your financial stance now and in the future. Call 805-339-0760 for an appointment. That's 805-339-0760 or log on to wagnerfinancial.com. For that one-on-one personalized financial attention, call Steve Wagner Financial on 805-339-0760. 805-339-0760. Stephen H. Wagner is an investment advisor representative with Transamerica Financial Advisors, as well as securities and investment advisory services offered through TFA, member FINRA, SIPC, and a registered investment advisor. Wagner Financial is not affiliated with TFA.
You're listening to Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle on AM 1590 KVTA.
I had a quick question I wanted to ask of Darren and Ron. Some of the couples who come to me, whether it's for mediation or for litigated consult, they find model quadros online and they go directly to their employer's site and say, well, I have a model quadro. It's all here. All I need to do is fill in the blanks. Why would I hire somebody? What's the value in that?
Good one.
And I want to know, what are the dangers of the do-it-yourselfers?
Yeah, well, there may not be anything wrong with that. And we wouldn't know until we find a problem. And that's really the key, is sometimes a model quadro is written in a way by a plan administrator, their legal counsel, where it is sufficient, it's very clear, it's easy to understand. And when used properly, and that's the key, it may optimize benefits and may result in an equitable division of the assets. However, you better understand every provision in it. And if you understand every provision in every single option, and maybe the options that aren't even written into it, then and only then, I think, could you really say whether it is quote-unquote good or bad. And that's really the key is do you know what's really written into these things? And if you do, then great. Maybe you could succeed in that. Now, of course, with the value of the assets, if you have an asset that is just very valuable and you're thinking of using a model quadro and maybe save a little time versus hiring an attorney experienced in this area, I think it would behoove you not to have proper counsel getting this done the way it ought to be done.
So you wouldn't find somebody online who could do it a little cheaper than, say, your firm. You wouldn't advise that?
Well, sometimes the online services are not attorneys, and oftentimes they're out-of-state attorneys or retired attorneys. And although at the outset, Lisa pointed out that federal law drives qualified domestic relations order, there's an incredible interplay with state law. So having a California attorney handle it is critical. And many of the online services are out of state, and who knows what you're really getting.
Ron, you wanted to add
yes,
something.
Yes, in private sector quadros, typically, if model quadros have been drafted, there are typically at least two, because there are two fundamental ways, at least, to divide it.
Right.
One is a separate interest quadro, and the other is a shared payment quadro. So right off, you'll typically have two. And if your spouse brings you one and not the other one, that might imply that there's only one. And really, there's another one. So it depends which way you want to go. The other thing is on federal government plans, military and civilian, particularly the military plans. The military has drafted up numerous model quadros trying to satisfy all the various states that have different property laws. And so if your military spouse brings you a quadro that's drafted up to satisfy the law in Mississippi, it may give you way less rights than you have in California. So you have to be very careful with federal government model quadros for federal, civilian, and military plans.
We have about 2 minutes, and I have two brief questions for you. First of all, is there a statute of limitations with regards to the timing or the completion of a quadro?
There is no statute of limitations. However, we touched on some of the subjects here, making people aware that you need to get these done in due course. You need to have them done preferably before someone retires, certainly before someone dies, The sooner the better. So that's why I encourage people to get the right information and get this process underway so that at the time of the settlement, when the divorce becomes final, you have all your ducks in a row, so to speak, to have a proper quadro.
So what about after the participant dies, as you mentioned?
Well, it becomes quite difficult. There's a body of case law on the subject, and without belaboring it, given our time constraints here today, I'll simply say that it quadros can sometimes be done. No one should ever get the impression that they should be done then, and they should always get a quadro well before someone is even in that circumstance.
Right.
And there is a way to sort of circumvent some of this, and that is through the joinder process, notifying a retirement plan that there's a legal hold or a claim. If you have a judgment but you don't have a quadro yet, supplying the plan administrator with a copy of your divorce decree, evidencing that you have a claim to these benefits. Sometimes that puts like a foothold or a marker that'll allow you to go in later and get a quadro because the plan was already on notice.
One last question before we go. What should I expect to pay for a pension valuation of a quadro?
Well, getting what we call a buyout valuation, an opinion of the value now of the community property share of the pension or the 401k, it typically runs between about $150 and $450. And most people that do the work, if there's a second or third plan, they're billed at a slightly lower rate. So I would say $150 to $450 for the first pension you want valued in your marriage.
Gentlemen, I really want to thank you very much for joining us today in the studio on the Divorce Leases on the Style show. Darren Goodman, the quadro attorney out of Westlake Village, and forensic economist, now retired. Ron, are you enjoying your retirement?
Yes, but the business goes on in Santa Cruz, California.
Okay, fantastic. I'm Colin Flaxman. Join us again next week for another edition of Divorce Leases on the Style.
Tune in every Saturday at 3 p.m. for Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle. This radio programming is not intended to encourage anyone to seek a divorce. The producers assume that callers are seeking basic information. The radio program is intended to be an informational format and does not constitute legal advice. Anyone with legal, mental health, financial, or other professional questions is directed to retain a competent professional after carefully interviewing qualified professionals. A guest appearance by a particular panelist does not constitute a specific recommendation by the producers as to the expertise of that professional, nor does that panelist's views necessarily reflect the views of the producer.